times of fellowship we had with you here. I'd like you to turn, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 3 for just a few verses before we look at some pictures from the work in Africa. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians to correct some confusion they seem to have had about the coming of the Lord. And he concludes his second letter here in chapter 3 by requesting prayer. And I'd like to really focus on that today, because prayer really is our lifeline. It's really what keeps us going. It's what you can do here at home as you have your daily devotions and pray, and I hope you do. I was alarmed to read a statistic recently that said that less than 90% of American evangelicals read the Bible outside of Sunday in church. Pretty shocking, isn't it? But Paul wanted these believers to be believers and Christians who stood up for Christ 24/7. And that's really the way our Christianity should be, shouldn't it? Not just confined to this little box of 2 hours on Sunday morning. Sunday morning only Christians. We had them when I was growing up, and we still have them. Except it seems it's even worse. Paul here requests prayer, and he says in verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." And that is the cry of every missionary today. And it becomes even more urgent and more necessary as world conditions deteriorate, where the gospel is not wanted, even right here in America, but even more so in many countries where those who stand up for Christ are suffering. Every Sunday, churches in Nigeria are being burnt, pastors and elders being killed, and even some mothers, and there are many, many orphans. There are 4.5 million displaced persons, they call them, in Nigeria, where they have no home, no food, no medicine, no sanitation, no education. It's almost like a prison camp. And Paul is asking the believers in Thessalonica to pray that the word of the Lord would have free course, and how we need to pray for that today, because there are roadblocks everywhere in our world. Even in the last 6 months, we see terrorist organizations rising up in many countries that weren't so prevalent before. But we need to pray that the word of the Lord will have free course, and even here in America, that we will continue to have the freedom that we have had this morning to meet together to remember the Lord Jesus and to carry his word and to preach it and to go into outreach activities. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." Everywhere Paul went preaching, he was opposed. And he wanted the people not to just hear the word, but that the word would be glorified. That means that it might be received and obeyed in the hearts and lives of those who heard it. In Ireland, people don't want to hear anymore. I was out with a team in the street 2 summers ago, and in one afternoon I handed out 200 tracts, and the other team members handed out many tracts, and not one of the 200 I handed out went into the hand of an Irish person. Not because I wasn't trying to give it to them, but because they refused it. The 200 I gave out were all visitors who were there on holiday or studying English for the summer. And right around Europe, we see a very, very much a post-Christian attitude. People no longer interested in God. And of course, that's why in Ireland Outreach, we took the decision to move our international headquarters to Houston, because we can no longer get missionaries into Ireland. They won't give a visa more than 1 year, and that can only be renewed once. And only if the mission organization or the assembly will guarantee $80,000 per year salary plus health insurance. And they haven't issued a new visa for the last 18 months for a missionary. And so the world is closing its doors. And that was true in Paul's case. He says, "Pray that the word would have free course and be glorified. That's the important part. That it might be received and obeyed in the hearts and lives of those who heard it, and that they might go on to be disciples. We're told to preach the gospel and make disciples. That's what Jesus said. And how important that is, not just to preach, but to disciple those who come to Christ. Because if we don't do that today, there are plenty of wolves out there waiting to take them away, and they'll never go on with Christ. And then notice, he says in verse 2, "And pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith." The world is becoming more and more wicked, isn't it? Terrible times, he wrote to Timothy, would come in the last days. And I believe we're beginning to see that even right here in America. And we would ask you to pray that in Africa particularly, where there are those who are very unreasonable and wicked. Just on Friday at the Haven of Hope, for those of you who pray for us regularly, make this a special daily prayer. On Friday, we received a note at the Haven of Hope from Boko Haram, the terrorist group in Nigeria, saying, "We are coming to take many away." And we have a school of 700 students there. Will you pray that God will put a hedge of protection around that facility? It's a hub of evangelism for all of Nigeria. It's a place where many, many people come for hepatitis B and C treatment to our hospital. We have become well known throughout the country, and people travel for days to come. And so pray that God will protect that place, that the gospel might continue to go forward. And then notice what he says here. Pray for us that the word of the Lord will have free course, that it will be glorified, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. But, notice that little word, but. That's very important in English grammar. But the Lord is faithful. And brothers and sisters, we need to remember that today. There's nothing in our world that we can turn to that is faithful except the Lord. Your job is not secure. Your family is under attack. And our neighborhoods are being burnt in this country. And we need to look to the Lord and know that only he is faithful. Only he is able to deliver us. That's what Paul says here. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We need to pray for one another, don't we? Do you pray for one another in your Wednesday night prayer meetings? I haven't been here for years for Wednesday night. You used to do that. I hope you still do. Because we need to pray for one another in our assemblies. Our assemblies are under attack today, brethren and sisters. Around the country, people are dividing in assemblies. Even the COVID thing, people are divided over that in our assemblies. And we need to pray that God will keep us in love with him and then with each other. Because we can't love one another if we don't love the Lord, can we? We need to pray that the Lord, who is faithful, will establish us in his word and keep us from evil. I sat on a plane beside a Satanist a few years ago, leaving England. They had had an international conference for all the Satanists of the world. And this person told me their great theme was that they should pray for the destruction of Christian pastors and Christian families. That's what they're praying for. Are you praying for the Christian family in your assembly that will stay together? We need to pray for that, don't we? Because the Lord is the only one who will keep us from evil. And we have confidence, Paul says. We have confidence in who? In the Lord concerning you. It's not that we have confidence in you because men will fail you. Some of the greatest failures of people in my life have been believers. Sad to say. But the Lord is faithful, and he will keep us going, and we need to have confidence in him And he says, and we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we have commanded you. And so Paul is expressing his great desire that the believers would go on in the things that he had taught them, and that they would continue to follow the Lord. And notice then in verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Probably the greatest verse in these two letters to the Thessalonians. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. You see, brothers and sisters, if we could only understand his love a little bit more, and Paul prayed for the Ephesians in chapter 3, that they would know the love of God, even though it's very difficult to understand. And we need to pray that we might understand the love of God a little bit more. If we only understood how God, the Almighty One, could offer his only Son to die for us, if we understood that a little bit more, our lives would be different. How many of us would give our only Son for our worst enemy? I only have one son. We named him Jonathan. It means a gift from God. And I wouldn't give him for my best friend, but God. And we need to pray that we'll understand the love of God just a little bit more. Because if we knew the love of God in a greater degree than we do, our lives would be different. The world wouldn't be able to crowd in and take away our priorities into all the things that this world has to offer us. And that's why we become Sunday morning only Christians. John MacArthur recently said, 25% of the people who left your church at the beginning of the pandemic will never come back. But don't worry about them, because they were only cultural Christians. They weren't even born again, probably. But concentrate on those who do come back and disciple them. Because they're the ones we need to pour our lives into as elders and leaders in the church, so that they will carry the torch in the days ahead. And how we need to do that. The Lord direct your hearts. Let's pray that God will direct our hearts into his love, so that we might understand it a little bit more, so that we will be 24/7 believers, so that people outside will know that we belong to Christ. I was in a restaurant yesterday, and a man came and said to me, "Are you a Christian?" I don't know how he knew. I knew he was a Christian. Maybe he'd seen me give thanks for food too. I knew he was a Christian because he gave thanks for his food. Most Christians don't do that because they're embarrassed. Somebody might see them. Isn't that what we're supposed to be seen doing? Practicing our Christianity? And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, as I show you some of these pictures from Africa, I want you to understand that it's happening. We're seeing God do amazing things because people like you pray. And we want to encourage you to keep praying, because that's what keeps us going. The school you prayed for many years ago, even before we left, we were praying for the school. That school building that was built for 250 is overflowing with nearly 700. And the government has said, you've got to build another school building because you don't have adequate facilities, or we're not going to register you next year. I don't think we're going to have it ready by September, but we'd like you to pray that it will. The problem is, just like here in America, due to the pandemic, the cost of building materials has gone up 300 or 400%. So a $250,000 school has gone to $800,000. Only prayer is going to make that happen. And so we'd like you to pray that God will continue to reach those students. They had their graduation for the year last Friday. And students gave testimony of how they had trusted Christ through coming to that school. Whole families have come. We had a little girl come to the school. I say little, she was a short girl, came a few years ago, and she said, "I want to be a bionic robotic engineer at MIT. Now, she came from a grass thatched cottage, right? didn't have the heart to tell her, you'll never make it to MIT. But you see, Paul said to the Ephesians, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And a year later, I met a spotter, a man who was spotting Nigerian students who wanted to study in America. If they could qualify, if they were smart enough to get a scholarship, they would go to America. Today, that little girl is a third-year student at MIT studying bionic robotic engineering. And her education was so good, the first year she was there, the professor had her helping him do the lectures. Only God can do that. And it's only as you pray that we see those kinds of things happen. Early in January, Dr. Austin was invited to Lagos to receive the award for Hope Academy Schools being the highest academic standing world-class school in the whole of West Africa. Now, we're a village school. We're off the beaten track on a dirt road. How does that happen? We didn't apply for it. And then the SAT and ACT came and said, will you be our testing centers for students who want to come to American universities? Because we can't find a school good enough in the capital city. And so students have to travel 6 dangerous hours from the capital city to our village if they want to come to America to go to college. You see, only God does that. And this is impacting whole families. That young girl's whole family have come to Christ as a result of her coming to school. And so as we demonstrate the love of God while preaching the word of God, many, many people are coming to Christ. And we'd like you to rejoice with us and praise God. So let's look at the pictures. If we can have the lights out, you'll probably see a little bit better. And I will go through these pictures fairly quickly. Ireland Outreach is responsible for English-speaking Africa for a new system of Emmaus distribution that we call the Emmaus Bible Centers. We don't use correspondents. We train nationals in their own countries to be the distributor and the evangelist and the discipler. And so there you see a map of Africa. Nigeria just here. It's a fourth of the population of sub-Saharan Africa. There are 1 billion people here. 250,000 are there. No, if you can take that off, brother, I think it'll be better. Yeah, take it off. Can you see all right? Yeah, good. Thank you. So these are some of the countries that we've been in. Nigeria, Ghana, we've been in Togo, Benin, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, over here in Ethiopia, in Kenya, in Zambia, Malawi, and we plan to go to Namibia and Sierra Leone and also some of the other countries. Gambia up here doesn't have this system yet. So pray for wisdom and guidance as we look to the Lord to do that. I'm somehow not getting a signal. It worked the first time, but it's not working now. There we go. Yep. So pray for these countries. Each of them has a different need. Because they're all different countries. And they're, I'll wave my hand and you can change it because it's not working. All of these countries have different needs, they're different cultures, and many different language groups. Another blessing that we've had in Nigeria just recently, the Fulani herdsmen who are being used by Boko Haram to burn churches and kill people, many of them are in prison. And in a major prison in the Middle Belt of Nigeria, our team that goes into prison was able to get into the wing where there are about 700 Fulanis. Now, they're very hard to reach with the gospel because they're nomadic people. They don't stop and live in one place. Their children don't go to school. Most of them are illiterate. But we were able to get our Emmaus courses into Hausa and also into get Bibles in Hausa for them, and our Emmaus people are going in and registering are translating that for them. So pray as we go into some of these countries. I'm sorry, brothers, it's not working. So Nigeria is our key country, as I've mentioned, because of the quarter of Africa's population living there. These are just some of the shots that you would see if you were to come with us on a team. You have very wealthy people, about 10% of the population living in the cities, and then you have very many poor people. 80% live on less than $2 a day. And it's a very young country. Half of the population under 14 years of age, but the average life expectancy is only 48. And so not a very long lifespan. So pray for this very needy country. It's about the 13th poorest in the world, depending on what statistics you use to arrive at that. When you come to our road, there's a sign there, the Haven of Hope, Hope Academy Schools, Hope Academy Hospital. The ministry is coordinated by Nigerian brothers. We have a team of trustees there, all very committed to Christ and all very highly placed in their own profession. We have two medical doctors, a barrister, a PhD in ophthalmology, a PhD in economics, a retired headmaster of CMML, and a high court justice. Hope Academy Schools is the name that we gave the school. That's the first building that you saw there. There's Dr. Austin receiving the award in Lagos with the principal of the school for the highest world-class academic standing school in West Africa. We just praise God for that. The American College Testing Program, they come twice a year, as well as SAT. So it's a real joy to mix with these students. They know they're coming to a Christian school, and they have to adhere to Christian standards. And they all have to study Emmaus courses when they come as well. Now, we feed the very young ones a loaf of bread and what they call tea milk for their break. And then the seniors get a more substantial meal at lunchtime. They get a protein and a starch and a vegetable. And some mothers from these IDP camps have come to tell us that if we weren't feeding their children in school, that's the only meal they get in a day. They would be dead. And so this is a very vital part in ministering to people and caring for them as well. And you might pray that we'll be able to sustain that program. Nigerians are very athletic, so we have an athletic program there. There's a science garden, a playground for children, a courtyard. And here this class are showing the Emmaus courses that they're studying. And all the teachers have to study 12 Emmaus courses the first year they're hired as well. They're all professing born-again believers. So we started building the second new school just 2 years ago, and now we're up to the lintel level of the first floor. Very hard to get materials out there because they all have to be imported. About the only thing made in Nigeria is cement, and then, of course, you can dig for the sand. But apart from that, it all has to be imported. 2 years ago, we had the dedication for the opening of Hope Haven Hospital. We had used the Bible school residence hall as our consultation rooms while the hospital was being constructed. And so the King of Jos was there. He's a believer preaching to about 600 dignitaries and visitors who came for the dedication of that building. There's Dr. Austin Arthur, the chief of staff, and his family. Pray for them. His son has just now gotten into university, and his daughter is about to go. We had to set up our own lab because the hospitals are so corrupt there. I sent a patient to the biggest hospital in the state several years ago for a simple blood analysis. Something was wrong. I saw when it came back. I went to the hospital and found out that they had taken the patient's blood. They'd taken the patient's money. They'd never done the test, just written a false report. And so that's the kind of thing we have to contend with. Our pharmacist, they're distributing pharmaceuticals that we take out. We have an A&E area where we can cater for three accident victims at once. And we praise God that we're able to care for those who have been injured by Boko Haram terrorism as well. That's the area for consultation and x-ray. That's the delivery room and the operating theater. We're just now setting that up for telemedicine so that if Dr. Austin is in the middle of an operation, he doesn't understand what he's seen, he can put a camera there And we can dial up Baylor or Mayo Clinic or John Hopkins, where we have contacts, and they can tell him what to do. So pray for this brother. We have another doctor working with him, and they are working very long hours, 16 hours a day sometimes, most days, seeing patients who come from far and near. And then there's one of my little granddaughters helping pack up the supplements and the pharmaceuticals we take out. The reason we have medicine is because we take it there. You now can get some medicine in Nigeria, contrary to what was the case a number of years ago, but much of it is fake. It comes from China, and it's of no medicinal value. It has salt or sugar or sand. And then we have the annual Emmaus Leadership Conference, where Brother Alec has come to minister. Joe Phillip there and Tony Thomas have been with us, and others. Brother Rick there up in the left-hand corner. And our last conference, we had 250 there. We fed them for the week as well. And that was a great blessing to them. Pray for this brother here, Brother Ben. He and the team up in northern Nigeria for the last 10 years have been working underground inside of Islam, going right into the mosque to make contacts. And they have seen about 11,000 Muslims come to Christ. We have 47 assemblies working underground, all made up of converted Muslims. He is a wanted man. He just had his windshield shot out as he drove down the highway. He has to go to work a different route every day because they want to kill him. I'm sorry, it stopped again. Is it moving? Okay, good. Then pray for all the literature that we hand out at these leadership conferences. Basically, what we're doing is we're training leaders to go back to the 33 states they represent to go and train others in evangelism and discipleship. So we equip them with Bibles and courses as well as supplementary literature. That would be your equivalent of Walmart in Joss. Business is a little bit different out there. You go and ask for something and say, well, we don't have it. Well, when can you get it? Well, we might get it from China in 6 months. Pray for this brother on the left there. Several years ago, the trustees said you need to have a security man with you. And I said, no, I don't think so. I've been doing this for 25 years and never had a problem, but they insisted where you're going, they're going to kidnap expatriates. And sure enough, if he hadn't been with us, my colleague and I wouldn't be here today. And the police said it was the only time that that terrorist group had been known to fail in their attempt to kidnap an expatriate. And they were shooting at us in a major city in southern Nigeria. And so we praise God for the Tundra. It's still going out there. Many of you prayed with us about that to get it out there. And we praise God. Here these little trucks get stuck in the streams. And then we also encounter up to 20 accidents a day like this, where big petrol drivers just drive their lorries down the road, and they don't care if they hit you head on or not. The last time Raymond and I were there in March of 2020, we had to travel like this in some areas just because it was too dangerous to travel the road alone. Now they're telling us, as we think of going in September, that we probably will have to fly to the major cities and not be able to drive in the country because it's just too dangerous. Pray for Dr. George. He too is one of our trustees. He's one of our greatest Emmaus distributors, a PhD in ophthalmology, has seen five new assemblies established in his area just in the last 10 years. And he's a wanted man. Food for Thought, published by our brother Pedro Dillon in California. He has provided funding for us to print now probably about 1 million copies. It comes out every quarter, and it's a great blessing. Pray for Jonathan, who coordinates our prison ministry. This brother has come from the jungle, and he is there to operate our water drilling rigs, and also he helps with construction and maintenance work. Brother Betty, his wife, is a teacher in our school. Brother Rick comes from Oregon. He was going to start our Bible school last year again, but unfortunately with COVID, we couldn't open. Pray for the Joss prison work. This is where all condemned prisoners come from around Nigeria who are sentenced to be either shot at firing squad or hanged for some heinous crime. And so our people go in there and find conditions pretty difficult. That's the only water supply for 1,300 prisoners. They have a fashioned inner tube with a rope on it, and that's how they bring water up. They don't get any food if their families don't bring it. People starved in prison in Nigeria over the pandemic because their families couldn't come in. So we go in and preach to these students. Dr. Austin there explaining what we're going to do with a medical clinic. He can speak six languages, and so he explains to them what's going to happen. We have it set up so the nurses are there doing the vitals, and three of us were talking to patients, and then Kevin had about 10 others who were counseling people, and we saw 30 prisoners that day profess to know the Lord. Now, when we were in Liberia, they said, we are going to have a baptism. I'd never had a baptism in prison before, but they baptized 62 who had studied Emmaus courses and wanted to be baptized when they came to Christ. And this last year, even during the pandemic, they had another baptism at another prison where they baptized 65. Looking in from the outside is not a nice picture. In Liberia, we have an Emmaus Bible Center in the prison. It's the worst prison in the world, according to the UN Commission on Human Rights. And 50 were starving per day in that prison during this pandemic because they did not have food. Then we go to other assemblies and churches around the country for graduations. We've had up to 2,000 at a time there. And also the conferences where Alec has spoken and some of the other brethren. They have sisters' conferences. The sisters arrive in trucks like that, riding for 3 days, standing up in a cattle truck to get there. And they stay for a week with the snakes slithering by, sleeping on the ground with their babies on their back. Johnny Erickson Tada has had Johnny and Friends for 50 years nearly. She's been in a wheelchair 50 years. She's 71, and she's in her third bout of cancer. Pray for her. Her body is like a 90-year-old, and the doctors don't know how to treat her because normal treatment will kill her. She has a ministry where she takes old wheelchairs, and they refurbish them in prisons, and then they send them around the world. They've sent over 100,000 wheelchairs around the world. Right now, there's a ship on the high sea somewhere that is waiting on the sea because they can't get into the port of Lagos to deliver 200 more wheelchairs, plus walkers, plus crutches to take to the Haven of Hope. This is how people come to us to get a wheelchair. This lady walked 5 miles like that on a horrible trail through the wilderness. Somebody was kind to her. You'll notice on her her left hand there, she has a thong. It's normally for your feet so that her hands wouldn't be cut by the sandbars and the rocks. But what a blessing for these people to have a wheelchair. If you're handicapped in Nigeria or most of Africa, it's a disgrace to the family. They put you in the closet, turn the key, and throw the key away. And so we are bringing them whole new life. We preach the gospel to them. We give them a Bible with their name written in it so their families can't sell it in the market. And now they can go out and go to school, or they can go to the market and sell petty goods for business and support themselves. And this has been a tremendous blessing over the years as Johnny and Friends have sent out these wheelchairs. So pray that we will get this next one in. We're still in rural areas in Ghana. This is the village of Adadornu that you prayed for many years for us to get clean water. That's the kind of water that they drink there. And they wash in their clothes in and they wash their bodies in because there's nothing else. It's polluted with bilharzia, a small little parasite that burrows into your skin in just 30 seconds. And they're dying as a result. We have a water reverse osmosis plant there, and so they have clean water. And then we're still drilling wells where they have hand pumps like this one. And then we also have others where they have to have overhead tanks. So in summary, will you pray with us for these leadership conferences If we go back in September, and that depends on the pandemic, whether we can get in. So pray that God will guide in that. We hope to have another conference. And then pray for the prison ministry as we go into many prisons around the country today with the gospel and with Emmaus courses. Pray for those who come and speak, and we hope that Alec will come again as well and be able to minister to our assemblies there. Pray for the water distribution factory. We package the water into half-liter bags and take it out to villages where in the dry season they have no water, or even in the rainy season where the water is polluted. And then we've helped assemblies. This assembly was built, and a brother who came out with Alec went back home and told his assembly about it, and they provided the roof and some chairs, and they opened the assembly with 100. And when I went the next year, there were 200 hanging through the doors and windows, so many. And now they've started another assembly as a hive off from that assembly, and that's only in the last few years. Here's a feeding program in Ghana where we put in a water well, and within a year we had a new assembly established there. Pray for the Haven of Hope and the Hope Academy schools. That's the auditorium. We can seat about 500 with people outdoors. But now we have up to 800 parents coming for PTA meetings, and during the rainy season when it rains, the meeting obviously has to stop because you get a tropical downpour. Then pray for those who put their lives on the line. This lady's a high court justice, and she has a death threat on her life every day because she won't take a bribe to fix a sentence in her court. She gives them Emmaus courses instead, and so they don't like that. These brothers all are under threat because they stand tall for Christ. Now, I'm not talking pie in the sky, brothers and sisters. This is very real. Just 4 years ago, on a Thursday night in Nigeria, I took this picture of Barrister Choli James, raised in our assemblies, rose to become a cabinet member, the only Christian in the Muslim government. And on a Thursday night, he said, come with me on Sunday. I'm going to preach in an assembly in such and such a place. I said, I can't do that. I'm going to another assembly in the opposite direction. That Sunday afternoon, I got a call. He and his wife and his son had all been assassinated after the meeting in that assembly. A great loss to the Christian community. I've never been to a funeral with three coffins. But God was glorified because two funerals that they had for that family were both broadcast nationwide on nationwide television. So even those in the north where the Muslims are heard the gospel. We have downsized in Ireland. We sold Charleville, bought an apartment here, and have a small office there, and Gene and I were able to sell our house and downsized, and we had an apartment. So during the pandemic last year, we, because we were over 70, it was against the law to go out of your house. We had to have people buy groceries for us. They arrested 100 people for standing in their yard talking to somebody. And we were just able to go down the elevator and through the parking garage and up the elevator to the office. So we praise God for his timing to have made that possible. Pray for Morgan House. You've been praying with us about this new facility in Houston. We plan to use the bottom floor for other ministries. Johnny and friends right now are considering renting an office there, and we have room for about six ministries. We'll have our offices on the middle floor and apartments for those who come and work for us on the upper floor. The Harris County has delayed us 3 years and added requirements totaling $3 million. Now, thankfully, we got a $1.8 million matching grant, so every gift towards that has been doubled. But finally, the man who was holding us up, who we were told was an atheist, was fired from his job. And within 2 weeks, our plans were accepted. So for the last 2 months, the contractors have been working furiously to get this finished so we can have a walkthrough inspection, hopefully in September, and we'll be able to move in. So pray that God will provide workers, laborers. We need a bookkeeper. We need a hostess for missionaries who come and stay there. We need an office manager. We need an accountant. We need someone to coordinate packing containers to go to other countries in Africa. So pray that God, sorry, I'm turning you off there. So pray for this facility, which will be an international hub for evangelism. One of the burdens Raymond and I have is to convert this warehouse into a conference and training center where we will train American Christians how to share their faith through the Evantel May I Ask You a Question program. Pray that God will make that possible because we really believe we need revival in our assemblies. That's what the top floor looked like when we went there. There's wheelchairs. We're a receptacle for used wheelchairs. If any of you are coming to Houston and you have a used wheelchair, just bring it. It'll go to prison and be renovated, and we'll ship it to Nigeria. So we have 600 there at the moment. Now, all this seems impossible. You know what? If I had been here in 1970, when Gene and I went to Ireland, I wouldn't have even dreamed of this. But as people like you have prayed, this is what God has done as we've trusted him together. You see, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And yet today, America is no longer the greatest missionary sending country in the world. We have 7 billion on our planet. Many of them have never heard the gospel. Islam is growing in America. They're crying out for the gospel. Many of them don't even know what they believe. I gave gospels to these two young people in Nigeria. When I look back at the gas station, here they were reading it. I led a Muslim to Christ and led several to Christ in Nigeria, but one of them said to me afterwards, are there any other Christians like you in Nigeria? I said, yeah, there are probably millions. He said, how come nobody else has ever told me about Jesus? And that man has gone on to become a missionary in Nigeria. But here in America is a different story, isn't it? We're still aiming for the sky. We're still telling our children, you know, get 3 PhDs and 6-hole garage. I actually saw a garage in Houston that had 6 holes for cars. And that's success. But our assemblies and our Christian families are falling apart. And our young people who are successful aren't going on with God. Is that really success, brothers and sisters? We need to come back, don't we? Let us pray for revival in our assemblies. We say we believe the Lord is coming. A night cometh when no man can labor. But do we really believe it? You see, our lives betray us. We don't really believe it. We're still planning on the golf course in retirement. We're worried about whether we're going to have enough money to live because of the uncertainty of our economy. Only God is able. Now, I want to encourage you retirees to consider serving the Lord. My parents retired early and came to serve the Lord with us in Ireland. My father was only there 8 years before he went to be with the Lord, but my mother was there until she was 85. And she said to, my father said to me before he died, the greatest thing we ever did was to take early retirement and go and serve the Lord. I had someone tell me that just recently. And we've had retirees come to Ireland at 75 and be there till they're 92. And they've told me it's the best time of their life. I want to challenge you, don't sit back and play shuffleboard the rest of your life in your retirement, but do something that will last for all eternity, that will lay up treasure in heaven, that will give you meaning in your retirement. This lady comes from Florida, a highly skilled surgical nurse. She's been out there several times in our hospital. Great blessing. So pray, as I close, for all that God is doing in Nigeria especially, but in Liberia, in Ghana as well, and then as we think of going to these other countries. We'd like to encourage you to pray about coming with us. You can come to Ghana, where they don't have people out shooting at you, but we believe that God will protect you, and it can be a mountaintop experience. And then lastly, just pray for Gene and I. We've turned 49 and counting. And, you know, we need daily strength. And we need wisdom from the Lord. We're training Raymond Johnson to take over my place someday. And he's doing a great job. Pray for him and Jennifer and their family. They need your prayers. They need your support. And they're doing a wonderful job. He left a 6-figure salary in UPS. And he's using all of his skills for the furtherance of the gospel. So pray that God will keep us going. We've been more busy here than we were in Ireland, and we were working long hours every day over there. My secretary retired, so Jean's had to do all the secretarial work. We need two secretaries. Are there any secretaries that will come and serve the Lord in Houston? You don't even have to go to Africa. No, Houston is almost as good as Dallas, and there are assemblies there, and you could come and serve the Lord right there in the office. So thank you very much for listening. As I sit down, have a quick look at that. There's a recent prayer letter there, so that gives you further details so you can pray. If you don't get our prayer letters, fill out that little postcard with your name and address and email address, and we don't bombard you. You only get about four prayer letters a year, a few emails, but pray, because many of our prayer partners who've made this possible, as they've prayed, have gone to be with the Lord. Last year, we lost 50 major prayer partners and supporters. That's one a week. And they're not being replaced by young people. So we need you to join us in prayer. That's the only thing we ask. There's a prayer card there to put on your fridge. There's a brochure on how you can support a child in the school. And there's also some fridge magnets. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you for your prayers all these years and for your support. We have really great appreciation for you folks here at Edmunds Lane, and we thank you so much for being a part of what God is doing. Will I turn back to you, brother, and you can close? Okay, let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the privilege we've had this morning of coming together like this to meet around your word and around the table with the emblems and be reminded of the great cost of our salvation. Help us to understand that more and more, that our lives will be totally committed to you, that you can work through us and in us so that your purposes will be accomplished and our world will be evangelized before the return of the Lord Jesus. We pray your blessing upon this assembly, and we thank you for them and pray that you'll continue to use them as they reach out with the gospel, that many more will be saved right here in this area and be added to this fellowship. And so, Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you gave your only Son so that we can have this relationship with you and with one another. And so we praise you and thank you as we pray these things in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.